All right, we're back. This is Frank Maloney with Jim Hobgood, and we are ready to jump into the Ortho Virginia Injury Report with Dr. Michael Wind. Dr. Wind, are you there?
I'm here. Thank
Very
you for
good.
Having me.
Perfect timing. We've had some battles with the electronics tonight, but thank you for being right on time.
No problem.
I know you and I have spoken, and we've even dined once at a fundraiser.
We did.
You've been now with Ortho Virginia for not quite two full years, right?
It's about 2.5 years now.
2.5 years.
Yep. So just joined 2.5 years ago with the group and have really enjoyed it. It's a great group and a great practice.
So one of the things we're most excited about is you did some of your education at UVA and Duke prior to that. So you finally wised up. You started undergrad at Duke, and then you moved to UVA for med school.
Yeah, so it creates a little bit of divide.
So who'd you root for on Saturday?
I'm always a UVA football fan. It might change a little bit of basketball season, but definitely UVA football. I went to Duke undergrad and then UVA for medical school, and big fan of Virginia sports, no question about it.
Well, one thing I noticed is you did your fellowship out in Perth, Australia. How'd you pull that off?
I knew I wanted to do some traveling, and once you get into practice, it's very hard to leave. So I knew it was the time of my life to do it. And they had a great sports medicine program out there. What I was interested in was joint replacement, and so I did a fellowship at Vanderbilt in joint replacement, and then went to Perth and did sports medicine for a year. And it was a really very interesting time and learned a lot and also had a lot of fun. It was a great year. So,
all right, let's get down to brass tacks here. UVA football and basketball injury report. There were no surgeries scheduled this week, which is good news. We like that.
Sure.
And that's 2 weeks in a row for the Wahoos.
Great news.
However, we do know that there's some guys kind of dinged up, but nothing major. There's the typical sprained ankles like Morgan Moses and some upper extremities, which I sounds to me like sprained shoulders and things like that.
Right.
Nothing earth-shattering, although I did attend the UVA basketball game last night where the Wahoos handled Winthrop, although it was kind of close for a while.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Sammy Zaglinski, Virginia's all-star guard, has got a bad ankle, and I know that's not your primary expertise,
sure.
Which I understand is knees and hips.
Sure.
Ankle injuries, and you work with L.C. Byrd student-athletes, don't you?
Yes, I do, yeah. I cover their football games for them. Happy to do so. Yep.
Well, talk about ankles, because I think every weekend warrior
sure.
has ankle issues.
Right. I mean, whether you're playing football or basketball, I think one of the most common injuries that we see in orthopedics is people coming in with ankle injuries. And so the most common thing we see is a lateral ankle sprain. So people come down on the side of their foot, they roll their foot in, and basically they tear the ligaments that support the outside of the ankle, and they have pain, swelling right away. We see that a lot in athletics. So when people come in like that, the first thing we try to do is get control of their swelling, get them into a brace if they need it, and get them into a physical therapy program. It can be pretty helpful in getting people back to activities, whether you're playing for UVA or just playing in the backyard on the weekend. So we take a pretty aggressive approach with it, and a lot of our athletes are usually back out there pretty quickly.
Dr. Wynn, you know, I can tell you, if you do knees and hips, you're going to do a package deal on Hobo one of these days. I need to come in and see if I get a special discount on doing it all at one time.
Okay, you have to stop by. That'd
but anyway, we appreciate you taking a couple of minutes to join us tonight, and we look forward to having you back on in a future show.
No problem. Glad to be here.
All right, Dr. Michael Wind, and we're trying to get none other than Dan Bonner on the phone here momentarily to talk a little bit about Virginia basketball in a week where football is definitely king, but basketball, as Frank said earlier, already underway. Two games played, and the team is headed down to the Virgin Islands for a tournament this weekend where they'll play four games in 4 days, I think.
Paradise Jam. They're going to play TCU in the first game.
On Friday night. Yeah.
That's a huge game for Virginia. It's going to be very interesting to see if Sammy can play in that game. Let's cross our fingers because I think that's going to be a pretty tough game.
All right, we do have Dan Bonner on the line. He's a longtime analyst. He was the women's coach at the University of Virginia back in the 70s for 2 years, a teammate of mine, a longtime friend. What undoubtedly is the great tradition of student athletes at the University of Virginia, one of the smartest guys I've ever encountered. Dan, are you with us?
I am, Hob, and I don't know why you're lying to your audience like this.
No. He's just a terrific guy, a great analyst, really knows basketball, and has been doing this for a long time. I know you've seen Virginia play twice now. I know maybe not against the best competition in the world, but give us your general impressions on the Virginia basketball team early in the season.
Jim, I thought it was real interesting. South Carolina State was a bad basketball team, and you've been around the game long enough to know that it's hard to make any evaluation when your opponent just isn't any good at all. But I thought against South Carolina State, the Virginia players played with great intensity. I thought their defense was very good. I thought Mike Scott looked a little rusty on the offensive end, but certainly he rebounded the ball well. And then in the game last night, Winthrop is not a bad team. I was very impressed with their backcourt in particular. And I thought Virginia, if they made shots throughout the game, I think it would have been not much of a contest, and they got hot at the end. But I think that it looks to me like they have some real good elements. I think as long as Mike Scott stays healthy and can provide him with a force on the inside, then I think they have the kind of perimeter players to create an inside-outside kind of combination that you really need to have. And I think they could really be a threat in the Atlantic Coast Conference. I don't think they'll win, obviously. I don't think anybody's beaten North Carolina. And I don't think anybody will finish ahead of Duke except North Carolina. But I think Virginia's legitimate, sitting there at 3, 4, 5, 6, someplace in that neighborhood in the conference.
Yeah, certainly the objective this year is to get back in the tournament and have Dan Bonner call the Virginia game in the for CBS. One of the fun things of college basketball that college football misses out on is some of these early season matchups. I know Kentucky played Kansas. Those are two storied programs, Duke, Michigan State, North Carolina, Michigan State. Some of these early season games are fun to watch, and that's the one advantage that college has. You can lose a game early, and it doesn't destroy your season.
And, Jim, I think you hear a lot of people when they're talking about college football, and this is not a criticism of college football, but people say, well, from week to week, the games are more important. And, I'm not sure that that's so. I think that a team like Virginia, for example, they go into the season and they're playing a South Carolina State or a Winthrop. Well, those are games that if you figure you finish fifth or sixth in the ACC, your record's about 500 in the conference, you can't afford to lose those games. You've got to win all the games you're supposed to win. You have to beat some pretty good non-conference teams, and Virginia will have an opportunity here coming up against Michigan, who has a really, really good team. But I think that particularly for a team like Virginia, there aren't any games that aren't important games because they've got to do as well as they possibly can in the non-conference part of their schedule if they expect to contend for an at-large bid in the NCAA tournament.
Interesting. I think we sometimes overlook the recruiting a little bit just because of the time of the year. But it's interesting that, they had the early signing period recently, and four players signed their letters of intent with UVA. And most everybody is well familiar with Justin Anderson, Evan Nolte, and to some extent Mike Toby. But Tevin Jones, who has been up, I believe, at Hargrave, if I'm not mistaken, was the last to get offered and signed. What are you aware of in terms of the conference this year in recruiting, and how did Virginia fare compared to the rest of the conference?
That's a very interesting question, and I don't really pay that close attention to recruiting. I have seen over the number of years that I played and coached, and now that I've been an announcer, there's been so many people who come in with a lot of fanfare who just, they don't do anything. And
right,
then you have other people who have no fanfare at all, and they end up being really, really good players. And my thought about recruiting is, let's turn the lights on, let's put the people on the stands, let's keep score for real, let's put the uniforms on, and then let's see what you can do.
Right.
But in terms of what the recruiting analysts, the people who make a business with that, Virginia's recruiting class is a very, very good one, very solid one. Tony Bennett was very pleased with the ranking that his class gets. He really feels like he did a nice job there, and those kids are going to be very productive. And I think up and down the ACC, what you see is pretty good recruiting classes. Now, whether those guys can actually perform to the level that they're expected to perform is another question.
Yeah, Dan, you look at the recruits the same way I did when I was doing the radio. Anderson, Jones, Nolte, and Toby, those are four names you can pronounce.
You know, that's true.
That's the most important thing. I used to tell people the great thing I loved about Pete Gillen is he recruited a lot of guys with one-syllable last names. You know, Jones, Smith, Brown, you know, names that I could handle. But at any rate, give us you started to the rundown of the ACC. Obviously, Carolina and Duke are better than anybody else. I guess the one question is Carolina good enough to run the table, or will they get beat along the way by somebody?
Jim, I think they'll get beat along the way by somebody. I think that there is, even within the ACC, I think there are teams. Duke certainly is capable of that. I think that Florida State is certainly capable on a given night, depending upon how things go, of beating North Carolina. So I think it's possible that North Carolina will have an extremely good record. I think it would be highly improbable if they did not. But I don't see them winning all their games. I mean, it's just that just isn't done anymore. It's just too hard to do. But I think that North Carolina is certainly, in my opinion, the class of the ACC. But I thought Roy Williams had a really good point when I read some quote that he had where he said that back when North Carolina won the last national championship, there really was a little bit of a separation between North Carolina and everyone else. And, of course, they didn't run the table that year either. But this year, there are some really good teams on a national level, maybe more good teams who really have a legitimate chance of being great teams than we've seen in a while. And I would include Kentucky in that category. I'd include Ohio State in that category, Syracuse, Pittsburgh in that category. Florida has a chance to be pretty good. UConn is going to be pretty good again. And I think that it's not a lock that North Carolina is just going to run over those teams. I think North Carolina is certainly the favorite, and I think they should be. But I think as the year goes on, as other teams develop, there'll be injury situations, various things that happen. I think it's going to be a really fun college basketball season.
You know, I wasn't going to ask you this, but the addition of Pitt and Syracuse certainly, well, those are good traditional football schools, but that really helps on the basketball side, too. Those are two great basketball schools of late.
Certainly, Syracuse has been a long, long time power in basketball, and there's certainly no reason to think they will be anything else. And Pitt has done such a great job, particularly under Jamie Dixon recently, that the spokes change, but the wheel keeps turning up there. I think that they're traditionally pretty good football programs, but the football programs aren't very good right now. So I don't think Syracuse and Pitt coming into the ACC is necessarily going to help the football at all. But I think it really represents a tremendous step forward in terms of the basketball competition.
Last night's game, it was pretty obvious as the Hoos struggled in the first half or so. Sammy Zaglinski's out with an ankle injury, and it seemed like the chemistry was lacking. Second half, Jontel Evans put on quite a show, didn't he?
Jontel Evans got in foul trouble in the first half, and I thought that was a big key for Virginia because without Zaglinski, they really don't have any really, at this point in time, any great options to be the backup point guard, particularly when you're going against a veteran point guard. And Winthrop's Middleton, big not in terms of how tall he was, but big in terms of his bulk, very athletic point guard with a lot of experience. And I thought it was just very difficult for Malcolm Brogdon as a freshman, who I think is a really good-looking freshman. I just felt like Brogdon was a little overmatched in that first half, and when Jontel Evans came back in the second half, that really helped. So Zaglinski helps out in that particular aspect, and to be honest, you don't really expect with all the shooters that Virginia has that they're all going to miss at the same time, but that's what was happening last night. And I think if you add Sammy Zaglinski to that mix, then that's just one more guy, and it's highly unlikely that you're going to have all four or five of your shooters go cold at the same time. And I think it's very important for Virginia to get Zaglinski back and to have Zaglinski be healthy. You just look at the end of the Virginia season last year. I think the healthier Zaglinski got, the better Virginia played, even without Mike Scott.
Yeah, absolutely. I looked at it. I was on the end of the floor that they never got beyond.
we don't want to talk about that again.
At any rate, and Ralph Sampson, I guess Frank keeps telling me Ralph, I guess, is actually going to be inducted into the College Sports Hall of Fame. Most people, when they think about Virginia inside players, they think about Dan Bonner and Ralph Sampson, pretty much the same.
side by side.
They certainly don't think very hard about me, but certainly Ralph, in the history of college basketball, I think there are very few players that have his individual accomplishments, and he's very deserving of his induction. The rap, if that's what it is, and I guess in this day and age, judgments can be pretty harsh, but Ralph didn't win that national championship, and people, that's one of the standards that is used now, and I think that's an appropriate standard, but it's certainly just the fact that Virginia did not win a national championship when Ralph was there. That doesn't diminish his ability as a player and the kind of career he had. It was a great college career.
Well, Dan, we will have you back during the season as it progresses to get updates from your perspective, but we appreciate you taking a few minutes tonight.
Jim, it's always my pleasure. It's nice talking to you.
Best wishes to Terry and the family. Dan Bonner, longtime analyst for college basketball and a former UVA player himself. So we're going to go to a break, come back with our Olympic sports update from Michael Tuskey, and talk about next week's show. Stay with us.